previously on Off the Wall.
Now, Greg, we are going to Alaska with you in this RV because you're doing something that some people might describe as crazy, insane, unbelievable.
An ultramarathon is any road race, foot race, which is more than a marathon distance. So a marathon is 26 and a bit miles. This particular ultramarathon is 135 miles.
We are going to be the crew, meaning we will be in this RV while you're running the running or walking the 135 miles. We're 12 hours in. It's a 48-hour race. I'm starting to feel kind of tired.
I wouldn't want to fall asleep at this point. I feel like tempting that, you know, like closing your eyes or just doing anything like taking a rest would be hard to recover from.
Plus, we have to drive an RV on a very narrow two-lane road that's not paved in a place where, you know, you might see a moose any second.
It's actually a nonstop race, so I don't anticipate resting more than a few minutes, and it won't be sleeping or camping or, you know, bivvying with a sleeping bag, tents, you know, none of that stuff.
We'll get through this, one way or another.
Thank you.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hi.
And it's part two of our show from Alaska, where we're helping our friend Greg Newby run the Denali 135. What that means is that he is running on a highway called the Denali Highway for 135 miles over a period of 48 hours. And we're helping him by driving an RV and resupplying him with food and clothing and various other things he may need during such an endeavor. And just to be clear, he's not running in traffic. The Denali Highway has virtually no cars. It's not even a paved road. It's mostly gravel that goes from one point in Alaska to another, neither of which is exactly a hot spot of activity. So last week we left off at the 12-hour mark, where Kyle and I are becoming increasingly incoherent. Now it's about 7:30 at night on the first day, and we still have another full day to go, and up until 5 in the morning on Thursday. Well, that doesn't mean anything to people listening, because you're listening to this on a Tuesday, which is not the same date as when this happened. Suffice to say, we're about 15 hours in, and we have many more to go, depending on how quickly Greg finishes. He's been doing quite well, actually. He is more than halfway through the entire thing. And by entire thing, I mean more than 5 marathons. A marathon is about 26 miles. Yeah, so he's done about 2.5 of those. So he has 2.5 to go before he finishes this 135-mile race. About 13 people have entered, and not everybody finishes, but just attempting to do something like this is an incredible feat. So we're waiting for Greg right now to show up for another recharging session where we resupply him. We're past the halfway point, and he should be here any moment. But Kyle, any impressions you would like to share with the people this week?
Well, I'm learning so much about how these things operate and what it takes to keep somebody going and keep them independent. I'm going to check his phone battery, because he has a battery charger, like a booster, that is probably going to be running empty soon, and I want to keep his phone charged so all the tracking and entertainment he has keeps going, because he seems really in good spirits and is enjoying himself. We're going to also swap out his shoes, offer him maybe a caffeinated hydration formula since he just did a big hill, and also talk to him about another half a peanut butter sandwich and maybe some miso, like consomme.
We have a great variety of things here. There are bananas, there's fruit cups, there's all kinds of energy bars and Gatorade and candy bars and things like that. And it's keeping us alive, too, because it's pretty tiring just driving the RV from point to point. We're generally about 5 to 10 miles apart. We drive up and we wait for him to come by. And right now he is, I believe, third out of 13, if I'm incorrect. I mean, if I am correct. Oh, boy, it's starting already. Our hope is to get through the next few hours and summarize what's going on in this one-hour program. I don't know. We will hear from Greg in just a moment as he arrives at the place that we are currently sitting in, where we just noticed that there are fresh moose droppings. Yeah, so there's that. And who knows? We've been warned about moose. We've been warned about bear. A lot of wildlife, and none of it particularly happy to see us in the area, so we have to be extremely careful. But we're in this big RV, and we've never done anything like this before. So many comforts of home inside a vehicle like this, and it's really an adventure. It's something I'll never forget.
Yeah, it's reminding me a lot of the 2600 van. And,
No, it's not. It was made the same year of it, actually, 1981.
It's a kindred spirit. It's as though that van didn't get utilized by the telephone company and had a different sort of life. It is so warm especially when you're in a remote, mountainous place like this?
Well, the 2600 van does not have three beds, two couches, a toilet, and a shower. but I guess, other than that, it's pretty similar.
Yeah, I think we calculated if you take advantage of all the different ways to configure it, you could probably sleep five people, maybe six people in here.
I have trouble falling asleep when I'm sitting over a driver's compartment of a vehicle. I don't know, maybe that's just me. Hey, I'm going to check in and see if Greg is nearby. Hey, Greg, are you getting nearby yet? That, to me, would indicate that he can hear me, but reception is still kind of spotty. So he should be here in a moment. We'll pick up things when he arrives. Nothing on the radio, I take it. We're a bit further than we said we were going to be because there was no place to pull over. When you get a chance, can you hand me the radio? I can try to contact him from here. Thanks. Hey, Greg, can you hear me now? Okay, we're up a slight incline and we're on the left, so you should be here very soon. So on top of everything else, it's rainy, it's chilly. And, well, I could say it's nighttime, but you'd never know because it's as light as it was during the day. But it's about 8 o'clock at night at this point, and we're expecting to see Greg any moment now. I should also point out that there is another shorter race that we kind of crossed into that started later. It started about 12 hours after Greg's race. I think some of the runners from Greg's race are now catching up to the new runners who just started this other race. It's a little complicated, but there's something like three, maybe four races going on the same highway of varying lengths. But Greg's is by far the longest, 135 miles. This is one of the longer distances between breaks that Greg has had, and it's also one of the longest in time, and I think part of that is because it's getting later in the race, and also because this involved a mountain that really was a challenge. I'm sure we'll hear about that when Greg gets here. Give me a few minutes and I'm going to call him again. Oh, we're actually exactly at mile 71. Okay, I didn't see that. Hey, Greg, do you copy? We're at mile 71. Didn't quite understand that, but whatever you want, yes, we agree. Radio communications. Well, he should be here very soon. And he is expecting to come inside, so prepare for that. Man, every time I open this door, a million mosquitoes come in. Then you have to kill them. What's with all the plane traffic? You hear this? There's a million planes going over.
Yeah, it's called total war.
What do you mean total war?
I don't know. Some kind of maneuvers. Sounds like...
This is Canada. They don't do that kind of thing. Oh, wait, no. We're in Alaska. I'm sorry. Okay, it's setting in. I'm starting to get delirious here. I don't know what country I'm in. You know, I see a bird flying, and that reminds me of a question I asked Kyle. Yes, I'm standing in the middle of a highway, by the way. I asked Kyle this question, and he didn't have the answer. But in a place where the sun doesn't really go down, or where it doesn't get dark, and birds are out at midnight, when do they sleep? How do they survive? If anyone knows the answer, please email us, otw@2600.com. As I walk towards the forest here, to look around the bend, see if I can see Greg coming, I do not. Gentle rain is falling. Mosquitoes affectionately pecking at me. You know airplanes, Kyle. What kind of plane is this?
They sound like serious planes.
That's a real technical answer. You know, we're both standing in the middle of a highway right now. With no worries whatsoever. Could probably take a nap in the middle of this highway. Neither one of us thought to take the radio with us, did we? The two-way radio that we communicate with Greg is in the RV across the street. Kyle's running to get it. Actually, I don't think mosquitoes bite if it's raining. I'm not sure if that's true, but I'm testing out that theory now. You got the radio?
Yeah, those planes are loud and they're staying in the area.
You think it's about us?
I don't know. Maybe just some kind of exercise or necessary thing.
Well, it's weird because we haven't heard anything like that all day long, and then all of a sudden it's a whole lot of planes.
No, that's not true.
What did we hear? That was a helicopter. I saw
the helicopter, yeah. I think that's for, like, a tours or something.
But the helicopter, I mean, that's how much traffic
there's
been.
It's still something.
Yeah, if somebody does drive down this highway, it's going to look awfully weird to have somebody standing with a microphone on the side of a desolate road. Kyle, I say when he gets here, make sure that he gets a little bit of a rest. Not sleep or anything like that, but just sit down, collect thoughts, plan it out, rather than just get right back on the road, because it's wet, it's miserable, chilly. I don't know if the mosquitoes are bugging him. He told us they weren't, probably because he's moving and they don't go that fast, but I do think he needs to be inside just for a little while, just to relax a bit, gather some strength.
Yeah, definitely. We'll try to just offer him as much as we can and set him up for the next leg. Maybe do the same amount. I don't know. We'll have to see if he has something in mind, like did this work for him or does he want to go back to some shorter intervals.
That's right, yeah. By the way, mosquitoes do bite in the rain. I just found out. That's great. Oh, here he is. We see him coming. Well, we see somebody coming.
Yeah.
That is him.
He's talking to somebody.
Oh, he's talking to somebody. He made a friend. Yeah. How nice. I hope we're not expected to take care of his friends now.
Maybe we are. I guess they're from the 100 Mile group. I don't recognize them as one of the originals.
Okay, so not one of the originals.
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure all the 100 Mile people passed a while ago.
I didn't see that many, but I wasn't watching back closely either.
That's why you didn't see them. We'll find out soon enough.
Wait, that neither of those people are.
Yeah, that's not Greg.
Not Greg.
Boy, I almost made a fool of myself coming up to him with a microphone.
Well, it's the best way to cover an event like this is
right.
Is men on the street, and this is literally on the street. We're on the Denali Highway.
Okay, so that was a cruel twist of fate there. That was not Greg. It was the two other people that actually were part of the 135-mile race. Apparently, they've gotten ahead of Greg now. They were behind him before. So we weren't expecting to see them. We hope to see Greg very soon. By the way, just to paint the picture here, the two people who just passed us were not running. They're walking. They're just walking down the road. So it's not the kind of race, you know, like you see in the Olympics.
Yeah, it's endurance. It takes pacing. It's not about maintaining a really high speed as you would on a shorter run. And now you have the elements and so on. You really have to manage your energy use.
We seem to have all the elements right now. We have the rain. It's a bit windy, chilly. There's wildlife lurking. I don't know if that's an element. We're getting tired. But it's, yeah, it's all adding up, that's for sure. Good thing we have these radios, though, because if I hadn't heard from Greg, I'd be worried. But I know he's out there somewhere. Okay, I see him. He's coming. I think he sees me.
We have visual confirmation. We're ready to go for In the Van.
But let's try and keep that door open as little as possible so we don't have an entire generation of mosquitoes inside the RV here. Welcome.
Well, hello. It's good to be here. We're going in the trailer now, right?
Yes. It's raining. You deserve to be inside for a while, so please enter.
Having like mild hypothermia.
Okay.
I'm okay though. I just need to dry off. You know?
Yeah.
Nothing to worry about there. Literally, my teeth are chattering. I'm shivering.
No, take as much time as you need.
Yeah. No, it's cool.
So we passed the other race starting.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to pick out some rain gear. I think I'm
okay.
Going to grab my
shell.
Yeah, I'm going to use the other one, though, I think. It's a little bit warmer. And over there, I think I have a full-size towel.
What kind?
A full-size towel. Like it's light blue and
it's
white.
It's right behind you.
Oh, yeah, it's for the sitting on. Okay, I'm going to use that, too.
Either way.
Yeah, I'm going to use that for towel.
Okay.
I can talk about this.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm going to towel off and have a hot drink, change my shoes, change my shirt, put on some rain gear, choose a different hat, because I'm just soaked through here. On the upper, my shorts and legs and socks are not really all that wet, but my top is totally soaked. Temperature today, now, seems to be, I'd say, around 43 or 44 degrees. It's been raining, a soaking rain, for the last probably 10 miles, so basically I've just been getting colder and colder as I go along.
Wow. Well, for someone who has run 2.5 marathons today, you sound really collected and strong.
Well, it's just a problem to deal with, and you know, these ultra races are really all about, as I said earlier, not listening to that voice in your head that says, you don't have to do this. You can just sit down and maybe have some Fig Newtons, maybe maybe relax a little bit. But no, we're not listening to that voice. We're going to carry on.
There's another voice telling you, go ahead and do this, right?
Well, I mean, that's the goal here. Why are we here if it's not to to do our best to finish?
That's right. That's right. All right, well, do what you need to do.
Do you want to go with a caffeinated hydration mix?
No,
or
no, I don't need it.
Okay, regular?
No.
And we're filling?
Yeah, it's there's actually I don't know how much hot water you have, but you could probably pour just straight hot water in there.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah,
you got it.
It's like half full.
Okay. And do you want tea or miso or something?
I have miso soup if you have it.
You
yeah.
got it.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this I'm not gonna be able to wear anymore. What I'm gonna do is dry. That's why I wanted to get the towel and then dry myself off.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'll feel a lot better.
And and then then can air dry a little bit and it'll start fluffing up. Yeah, I think I told you already, this is my least favorite weather of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit colder, it would be worse. You know, it's not that cold, really, but the rain is cold. Being out in it for so many hours is cold. And also, I sort of suspect that when you're exerting yourself for a long time, your body just doesn't regulate itself quite as well. It's really common after a marathon.
The range and temperatures and feedback
after a marathon, they give these Mylar blankets because people will start shivering as soon as they finish.
Wow.
They're okay on the during the race.
That's interesting.
Yeah. What I'm doing here is these are rather thinner socks and my thick wool socks.
Uh-huh.
And as I mentioned, as I run, my feet swell up a little bit. Very typical. Everyone does that.
Yeah.
And so I'm getting a little pressure on my toes, like up here. So changing socks is a way of hopefully avoiding sore toes. Changing shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So these were brand new this morning.
Wow. Damn.
They're not too bad, but you can see where, especially at the heel, where I've worn these, this is almost flat here, and as opposed to being all...
You did all that in one day?
These were brand new this morning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would take them back.
That's just life. Well, I mean, I'm what they call a heel striker. And as the day progresses, I turn into a heel dryer. So, I don't know if you can blame your balance.
Is it worthwhile? I know we're conserving water, but to rinse your sneakers off, or
probably just if you take them outside and bang them,
okay.
Yeah, and then probably either put them in with the laundry or put them in their own bag.
All right, I'll find something.
They're pretty dirty.
Okay, and then are you comfortable with the interval, or do you want to go shorter? Because you might
we'll go a little
something.
Shorter this time.
Yeah, go shorter and see how things are. But I want you leaving until you stop shivering.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know the feeling. I think.
I'm very glad there's no night. That would make things a lot.
It's helping me, I think.
Well, it would just be scarier for people running.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I'm sure there's lunatics somewhere that do these kinds of races in the dead of winter.
This is flashing one green.
Yeah, it doesn't have a signal.
Because of the roof.
So
we'll stand outside for a second.
If you want.
Okay.
It might not.
Close that door.
It might not upload right away though.
So, Greg, you've had a nice long recharging session here, which I think is really important for anybody doing this kind of thing.
Yeah, I think we're here maybe half hour or so. Turned on the stove because we don't have really a heat in the RV, but we turned on the stove and I warmed up my hands and warmed up my face and changed clothing and dried off and applied some sports shield because I have some rubbing going on under my backpack. So I just did a bunch of maintenance and then, of course, changed shoes, changed socks, changed shorts, changed shirt, and took the time to towel off and let myself dry during that. So now I'm bundled up. Actually, I have a replacement wool shirt on, a long sleeve wool shirt, which is going to sound funny to anyone listening to this in the summer that I'm wearing a long sleeve wool shirt to go for a run, but it's chilly here.
You're in Alaska, after all.
It is, yeah, and I also have a sort of an anorak rain jacket, and I'm switching out my runner's cap for what they call a Seattle sombrero, which is basically like a cowboy hat, except waterproof.
Well, best of luck on this next leg.
Should be fine. I'm going more slowly, of course, but I'm still going. Keep up next to the sun.
5 in the morning on Wednesday, the 21st of June, 2023, which means that this race has been going on for 24 hours, and we've been basically up more than that amount of time, because we got up before the race, obviously, and also didn't get very much sleep the night before because the race began at 5 in the morning. It's hard to go to sleep at 8 o'clock at night when it's still light out. In fact, it's still light out no matter what time it is here in Alaska. But I think we're holding out pretty well. It's 24 hours solid of us basically helping meet Greg in various places. He'll say, okay, meet me 5 miles up the road. And we do that. We get in the RV and we drive 5 miles, if that's what he said. If he says 10 miles, we do that. But lately, we've been using the very nice big mile markers that exist on the Denali Highway, and it's very simple. And right now, as I speak, at 5 a.m. on Wednesday, 24 hours after the race began, we are at the 100 mile marker. Yeah, so it's very
momentous.
That's the word. Yes, thank you, momentous. And 100 miles is it's significant. We have another 35 miles to go. You might wonder where Greg is. Well, Greg's outside running. Well, not really running. He's walking. Many people are walking at this point in the race. That's pretty much how it goes. You run for a little bit, then you walk for a little bit, then you walk for more of a bit, and pretty much walking all the way at the end. So everyone is walking now. There aren't that many people. I think 13 people started the 135-mile race. A bunch more started the 100-kilometer race, which started later down the road and is ending at the same place, but it's a different race at the same time. But, Kyle, so we've been doing this now for 24 hours, basically meeting Greg at appointed stops and basically providing him with food or with a clothing change or some element of support. And he's been a real trooper. He's been at it the whole time. And we've been trying to attend to whatever it is that he needs at the moment. And he'll be arriving here at the 100-mile mark probably within, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. And we're just going to keep going. And, you know, when this whole thing started, I really didn't think we'd make it all the way to 135 miles. Greg is the one doing the work. But he really, really is determined and has a great attitude. Even though it's been raining pretty much the whole time, he has hung in there, and I think he's going to do it. I really do.
Yeah, the incredible endurance that is on display is really respectable and just so incredible. To know someone capable and, you know, passionate and wanting to share their interests in and ability is just really special to be here for that journey and doing what I can, testing my own limits and yourself included.
I'm surprised at how lively and awake we are after 24 straight hours of doing this. And we did our calculations, and if I'm not mistaken, it's taking Greg at this point close to 90 minutes to do 5 miles, which it sounds awful if you're a racer. But he was he finished the first 20 miles very quickly. This is what happens. Try running 5 marathons and you'll see how slow you get towards the end. But he's doing well. He's in the front few of the people who are running. Where was I going with that? How did I start that sentence? So basically, we've been up that whole time, and Greg's been up that whole time, and, we figured out how long it's going to take him to finish, because 90 minutes per 5 miles, and I can't do the calculation again. It's a one-time thing, but I wound up somewhere in the afternoon of Wednesday, i.e. today. So that means that because Greg finished or will finish at a certain time in either late afternoon or maybe early evening, that's a whole lot of time shaved off the 48 hours, which would have it end at 5 a.m. on Thursday. And then we would have been up for 48 hours. And if you think we sound chipper now, boy, tune in then. So I'm hoping that he's able to keep up this pace, because if that's the case, then we'll be able to do something else instead of this for a little while.
Well, principally, safely navigate him and ourselves back to somewhere where we can rest, like take a nap. I mean, there's several activities after this.
That's not called a nap. What we're looking for is not a nap. It's more like hibernation. It's gonna be a while. But that is the idea. And I should also point out, we might sound like we're completely out of it. It's just because expressing ourselves has become rather difficult. But the one thing that we both are extremely focused on is getting from one place to another in the RV. It's like we just snap out of it as soon as we sit behind the wheel, because these roads, they wake you up quickly. It's not a paved road. There are potholes everywhere. It's like you're playing some kind of a video game where you're trying to avoid the massive potholes in the road. And since there aren't other cars in the road generally, it's relatively easy to move over to one side, then move over to the other side and try to avoid them all. Because, if you hit one of these, they're massive. They're huge. Some of them are a couple of feet deep. All kinds of things happen in an RV. The biggest issue with us is the tea kettle keeps flying off the stove onto the floor, and we don't want that to happen, although I still don't understand why we don't just keep it in the oven.
It's not flown off the stove. It's come very close to falling from the stove.
And where's it going to fall to when it does that? The floor.
Yes, not the oven. I mean...
No, I didn't say it was going to fall into the oven. I said the solution would be to put it in the oven, then it can bounce around all at once, and it doesn't matter.
I've developed a system that works for me.
Yeah, your system involves jumping up while I'm driving and running to the back of the RV to save the damn kettle. Who cares if the kettle hits the ground? It doesn't matter. We'll get another damn kettle.
All right. Well, it's crucial to have the warm water. Almost every stop that Greg has made, he's asked for warm liquids, which is totally counterintuitive, but makes sense in this weather. And I think if it was really, really sweltering hot, we would be relying on ice a lot more if we had any.
Honestly, I like the rainy weather. I know Greg is the one out there running. He probably doesn't like that weather so much, but if it was sunny and hot, I think there'd be a lot more complaints of various sorts. And it certainly is not sunny and hot right now. And I don't think it's going to be until after the end of the race.
Yeah, and I've developed other ways of dealing with the teapot. I mean, it's safe. Don't worry about it anymore.
It's just one thing. I mean, yeah, we're not obsessed with the teapot, but other things fly around. There's a lot of loose objects here, and
but while you're on that pinball road that like bounces the whole RV all around,
it is like pinball. It's exactly like pinball, except you're the ball.
Yeah, yeah, and then I fasten myself and run back to catch something. And tell you to slow down, and you don't want to slow down for some reason, because You feel like you have to maintain a pace to get over all the like crevasses and stuff.
No, that's totally unfair. No, I'm not driving like a maniac. First of all, the RV has extremely high idle for some reason, so that when you hit the brake, it's still trying to do 40 or 45. And I'm not used to driving automatic, so it's this battle between the brake and who's running by? Somebody's running by now?
Yes, one of the other runners.
Okay, I figured it was one of the other runners.
I don't know, two, three.
He's got a pace car right next to him. That must be annoying. They're talking to him as he's running, and he's running. He's jogging. Well, good for him. Good for him. And he's ahead of Greg, so I guess that will bring you further in the field. We'll see though how it ends. But yes, I'm not driving like a maniac as far as going down these roads. I don't enjoy hitting potholes, and I just try to avoid them whenever possible. But you also don't want to go too slowly because you'll feel every pothole. Then you'll dip into all of them, and it's a very empty road. and you really kind of want to get on with it already.
But we'll miss it. I've been taking it in. I think the moments when we're moving from point to point, relocating, the bits out the window, the stuff we see, I'm sure it's just a sliver compared to the things Greg is hearing and seeing on his run. But
look what the runner is doing behind you. They stopped and they're everybody does this because you're outside and there's no bathrooms, but I mean, I just didn't expect to see the runner do that right on the road. He's not aware that we're watching him, obviously, but boy, the things you see sitting in an RV. So we still have some time left in this, and if we can figure out how to record more in the future, we will try to do that. But we certainly want to record the moment that Greg steps over that finish line, assuming that moment comes. And if it doesn't come, that's fine too. It's such an accomplishment even to start something like this.
Yeah, the attempt itself is just an incredible feat. But I think we're doing really well. I feel like I'm up. It's just when I sit still or, like, don't occupy myself with tasks, then I get kind of woozy and, like, start to drift off a little. But
and that wasn't the way it was supposed to be. We set this up so that we were going to have schedules. It's like you'd be on guard and I'd be asleep, and then we'd switch. And basically, that was how it was supposed to be, switch on and off. But I don't know why we didn't do that. We had all these videos to watch to keep ourselves occupied, but it started out where we were just into being a part of this, and I guess that just never stopped. I don't know, it just didn't feel fair to say, well, I'm going to sleep now, you deal with this, and if Greg is the one running all this time, well, then maybe we should be doing something all that time as well. And also, I really can't sleep well in an RV, but that's a whole other issue.
Yeah, I mean, even when it's necessary, it's an adjustment. So,
well, what's going to happen is, I'll be upstairs, because that's where the beds are. And I'd be saying, okay, I have however much time Kyle allocated, maybe, what, an hour, 2 hours? And then I'd have this countdown clock in my head ticking, reminding me that every moment I'm still awake is one moment less that I have to sleep. And before you know it, the hour or the 2 hours are up, and I've gained absolutely nothing, and it's just, I torture myself. Every time I have to do something early in the morning, this happens. So, This is how we're doing it. This is the way we're and everything's working too. That's the thing. We're efficient. I don't know how efficient we'll be in another 12 hours, but we're trying.
I'm just trying to, like, make sure we're, like, sustaining Greg first and then getting some snacks in. I promise some coffee. I'm pushing that. Kind of like when you're on like a long distance flight, like the breakfast and the meals are they're sort of reminders of time, but...
Well, can I remind you that Greg says specifically he doesn't drink coffee, so don't push it on him.
No, but it's for us while he's getting whatever he's requested.
And yeah, that's fair.
I put some, like, kind of boring cereal stuff out, and I don't expect him to want any of that, but, like, we might have a little bit, and then maybe he can kind of join in. So he's kind of, like, a part of regular meals as well as all the things he's doing. But I think, yeah, that is helping us because, like, we had sandwiches earlier and we aren't having as many smaller snacks and or, like, packaged things. Like, we ate some, like, raw carrots. That was really good.
And we dipped them in hummus. That made it really awesome. But yeah, so we're getting by, and we're gonna pick this up towards the end of the race or at the end of the race, and I had something to say, but I forget what it was. I really I'm sorry about this. It's just we've been up so long. Yeah, well, I guess we'll just have to see how things go, right?
Oh, yeah, we're going to see how it goes. I guess since there is potentially, like, many hours until between when Greg finishes, we'll have to do some kind of, I guess, reorganizing or occupying ourselves for a little bit of time before we go and see the, I guess, last people finish and whatever ceremonies they have.
Open your eyes.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
All right, listen, we're going to go because we have a few moments before Greg arrives, and maybe we can just close our eyes for a few minutes and just think of something else, and then we'll be back with some more updates on this.